New faces, family members and friends who are here in Austin for Christmas. So thank you for coming. As we continue our worship service, I'd like to, I don't like this, but we have to do this once in a while. And I say that facetiously, but once in a while we have to say goodbye, or at least see you later, to some of our members, as during this time they will be moving. So I'd like to ask if Phil and Mindy and whatever family members you want to bring on up with you. And then we'd also like to invite Nathan Hsu to come on up. And actually, Art, can I actually, guys, I'm going to use this mic, okay? You guys come on up. Nathan, go ahead and come on up. Maybe some of you didn't know that they would be leaving at this time. But let me just ask a few simple questions so that we can have context. You guys can come on up. So this is Phil, Mindy, let's see, Riley, Ryan, and Liam, right? I get it all right? So I guess the last few months, God has been leading the family to move up to the Dallas area, family health situation, and praise God, things seem to be going better. But I'd just like to ask, as you guys are moving and as the kids start school and stuff, are there some specific prayer requests that we can pray for you guys?
Thank you. I think what's important, what's on our mind right now, is a good transition for the kids. I know they're going to miss their friends here, so good schools, friends, and also finding a good church for mm-hmm. our family, too. Okay. And continuing to pray for my family okay. and my dad.
Okay, specifically, yeah. All right, Phil, Mindy, we'll definitely be missing you guys, and you too. When you go to college, you guys can come back, okay? And Nathan, look, I'm not that tall. Why don't you stand up here so they don't think I'm taller than you. So Nathan has been here for his college years. He squeezed 4 into 4.5, right? Just want to – he took a few extra classes, ended up with 2 bachelors. But Nathan has been faithful here from day one. And along the way, what are just some of the ministries that you've served in? Why don't you go ahead and share some of the ministries you've served here in ACC?
I just done worship team for like a year, and then also help with Lighthouse.
Yes. And what grade are you counseling?
Oh, I teach the 11th grade guys with
okay.
Ricky.
Okay. And Nathan will be moving back to Houston right now. So what are some specific prayer requests we can pray for you as you head back?
Mainly just for transition at home, living with parents again, and then with job searching and just finding community back at home if I do decide to go to a different church than my home church.
Okay. And just so we can get it out there, what is your major? Because it's a very specific one, so that's part of the reason why it's a little challenging to find your work with.
Petroleum engineering.
Okay. So in case anybody's needing to hire someone, okay, Nathan's here. I'd like to ask if some of the other pastors would go ahead and come on up, Pastor Pat, Pastor Dominic, and Pastor Art. And what we'll do is, since Nathan has been serving as counselor, Mr. Dominic will be praying for you. I'll be praying for the Wong family. Can I ask if you all would stand with me, and if you would be praying for this family, these families as they depart here? We try to do this if we know ahead of time for our members who are leaving and try to catch them. And I know it's been a crazy week and weekend, just trying to close on house and things like that. So we especially want to pray God's peace for you. So let's go ahead and bow our heads. And as a couple of us lead us in prayer, would you be praying in your hearts, please? Dear God, we come to you and we are thankful that you have given us the privilege to know the Wong family. Lord, they've been here since their college years. Before there was any children, before there was marriage. And Lord, I thank you for using them to serve. And I know even this last few months, many people would say, oh, you know, I'm too busy. I've got to get ready for the family move. And Phil's been up in Dallas starting a job and getting a place, taking care of family. And yet I know Mindy stepped up and said, you know, I'll serve as life group leader for this quarter. For this semester. And so God, may you continue to bless them and their faithfulness. And as they transition, I pray that Riley and Ryan and Liam especially will know that you are with their family, and that change, there's hard parts of change, but there's fun parts of change and seeing and getting to know other people and to have new friends and to be close to family. We do pray that you'll be with Phil's dad, that you'll touch his body and continue to minister to him. And Lord, you know that this is a heavy burden on Phil's heart. And so we thank you that things are a little better, but we ask that you would be with Phil as he continues to transition with new workers, new co-workers. And as Mindy, is just continue to do what she does so well as far as making sure that the house is in order and just making sure that the family needs are taken care of, Lord. I ask that you would meet them spiritually, that you would even now be preparing a very obvious and clear community for them. We miss them here, but we know that the church is not just a small C church, but there's a capital C church, that the universal church of believers is all over this world, and that you have prepared a community there, and that they will find them, and Lord, that they will make that commitment. It's not going to be easy, but make the commitment to get to know people and also to be known by people. I pray that you'll protect them and that you'll give them lifelong friends there also, in addition to the ones here. Lord, we will miss them here, and we pray that we will continue to have opportunities to cross paths with them. But as we sadly say goodbye to them, we rejoice in that you have very clearly laid the path open for them in providing work, providing housing, selling the house, all these things. So give them strength this week, especially as they are moving physically, but also emotionally. There's going to be times I know that it's going to be hard. And so we pray that they will know that they are loved not only by you, but by this church. And we look forward to sharing stories, to continue to have laughter and tears together, Lord, as we continue to go through this life that you've given to us to serve you. So we thank you again for this family. I pray that each of the kids will have a good transition to a new school in the middle of the year, that you'll give them really good friends that will love them and protect them and point them to Jesus also. And we pray this in your name. Amen.
Father, we come before you, and while we're sad to see Nathan off and to return back to Houston for this period of time, Father, we ask that you would continue to pour out your blessing upon Nathan as he moves on to this next life stage, Lord, as he prepares to enter the workforce and to try to find a new position, Lord, for him to serve in and to minister. And Father, we ask that you would make his ways clear, that you would be preparing a position for him wherever you're leading him. May you open his heart to whatever you might call him into, Father. Lord, as we send him off, Father, we thank you for all the ways that he has blessed our time. He has blessed us as a church in his time here in Austin through worship, through Lighthouse, Father, through the friends and the fellowship and the community that he's developed here. Lord, we ask that as he returns to Houston, that you help him reestablish his community, his church family, Father, and that he would be a blessing to them as well. That he would be able to take the things he's learned here in Austin and to encourage and uplift others back in Houston and wherever you might take him for work. Father, we pray that you'd be preparing co-workers and friends that he can continue to share the love of Christ with, so that you might be known and revealed in and through Nathan's life. We thank you for all the ways that he has blessed us, and we ask that you would continue to show your faithfulness to him in the years to come. So we thank you for his time here in Austin. We praise you. In Christ's name we all pray. Amen.
Let's give a hand to these brothers and sisters. Thanks, man. You can all be seated. Thanks. And see if it'll work. One of our, I could use it here, one of our missionaries did something a little different this year for us, and they sent us a little video clip, and so we got permission to share this with you. Okay, let's go ahead. Some of you may recognize David and Sarah Raymer, and also their little girl, Noelle. So when they sent that to us, we said, oh, you know, it'd be good to share with the whole church. But do continue to pray for them as they serve faithfully in Myanmar. And, you know, that's a place where, depending on who you're around, it could be a little tough. So just they're very intentional. They're very faithful. So I wanted to share that with you. Well, we welcome you to Austin Chinese Church, and very thankful as we wrap up our Advent series. And I know it's a sort of an interesting time of year, like we just did. We are saying, at least symbolically, goodbye to some of our friends. It's a time of transition. Some of you are here just for a few days or a few weeks between school semesters or quarters. Then others are just here for this day because you're here visiting from out of town. And yet we have come together in God's wisdom and his sovereignty. He got you up. He brought you here safely. He intended for us, this group of people, to be meeting together, to worship together. And so what we're going to do as we continue to worship is turn to God's word. And we're going to turn to 1 John, not your typical maybe Christmas passage, but we'll be turning to 1 John chapter 4 in just a little bit. Just gives you some background. We have been going through an Advent series, and we titled it Wonder. Wonder. I think that sometimes as we are trudging along, as we are busy and sometimes frenetic in our schedules, in our responsibilities, sometimes we can forget to pause. And that's why people take vacations. People take vacations. Actually, I mean, getting there still might be frenetic and busy, but sometimes depending on where you go, especially people who go to see the ocean or the mountains, or snow, go skiing in the snow-capped mountains, or they may go to lakes and rivers. They see canyons. When they look at the stars at night, when you're away from the city, when we see nature, when we see creation, a lot of times we sort of get our wonder meter recalibrated. We will realize that the amount of money one makes or the education one has or doesn't have, that's not really the most important thing. At the end of the day, we are filled with wonder that the God who has created this amazing world, creation, with all of its beauty and splendor and grandeur, the wonder of this Christmas season is that he loves each and every person in this world. He loves you. He's given you, and we've talked about the first week, we talked about the hope that Jesus offers. We talked about peace, and peace is not an absence of conflict. Peace is when we have when we're able to have peace in the midst of the circumstances of life, where there is this calmness that passes all understanding, where there is a, I know that God is still in control feeling in our hearts, despite what is going on all around us, despite government shutdown, or despite the stock market going the wrong direction, seemingly, despite all the things we read in the news. My understanding, a tsunami hit Indonesia overnight. Hundreds were killed. In spite of all this, there's this peace that Jesus offers. He's the Prince of Peace. Last week, we heard a great message about joy, supreme joy that Jesus offers. And today, I'd like to wrap up this series, as every year we go through these topics, but the idea of God's love, the wonders of God's love. You know, it's hard to imagine that God loves us as much as he does. And it's even harder to comprehend why he loves us. But do we understand that because of his love, he's also commanded us to love him? And so we're going to sort of walk through that. And I just submit to you as something to consider is the quality of our love relationship with Jesus. The quality, the depth, the growth of our love relationship with Jesus Christ is foundational to how we experience him every day. The reverse way to say it is when we're not sure he's there, when he seems far away or we know we've run away, it's because our love relationship is not where it should be. Those of you who have been in a relationship where you love someone deeply, you know that the more time you have, the better. My best man lives in San Jose area, and so we keep in touch, and they've been going through some tough times. So we don't talk every day. We sometimes don't talk for months at a time. But we care for each other. We love each other. We're best friends. But, you know, whenever we get to visit, like earlier this year, we got to go visit him and his family and to play with his kids and stuff. There's something that is recharged. and the depths of our relationship grows deeper because of time we've spent together. And it's true in marriage and in families, at work and at school. How the quality of that relationship will often determine what you experience in and through that person, and vice versa. Okay, so we're going to try and unpack that a little bit, but God's love, the wonder of God's love. So I'm going to have a word of prayer as we go into this simple concept, and yet it blows our mind, okay? Father, I thank you for this opportunity to continue worshiping, and I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, of our hearts, will be acceptable to you. May we listen not only with ears, but may we listen with our hearts and minds so that we can hear your message and truly be blown away in wonder by your love again. And we pray this in your name. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, if you would turn there, this is a very rich book. John obviously wrote this, and he wrote this to believers. And throughout this book, he talks about God's love. And we're going to just focus on a few verses. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 says this. I'll read out the English Standard Version. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I know that's a big word, but let me read New Living Translation. It's a similar, but again, just to hear it another way. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. You know, a lot of times people will use the Christmas time to quote a famous verse, the one that you can see at football stadiums and at big events. You'll see someone holding John 3:16, right? In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, will not die, but have everlasting life. And that one verse gives us God's heartbeat. He loved us so much that he gave us his Son. And so I'd like to talk a little bit about why we wonder at God's love. And the first thing, as this verse says, and also verse 19, we love because he first loved us. It's a wonder. God's love is a wonder because he initiated it. Okay? Because he initiated it. If you're taking notes, that's just a real simple point. It is a wonder because he initiated it. Now you might say, well, what's the big deal? Well, let's paint the picture a little bit more. God, the God of this universe, the God that we believe the Bible teaches us, who is the creator of this world, he is infinite. He is beyond time. We are bound by time. We think if we make it to 80, we make it to 90, it's like, whoa, that's amazing. You know, that's just a blip on the radar in God because he's not bound by time. That same all-powerful God, that same God who is not bound by time, the same God is the same God who knows you. He knows you. He cares about you. He cares about everything. He cares about this morning when you got up. He cared about you while you were sleeping. He cares for your family. He cares for those of you who are grieving this Christmas as there's family and friends who are not with you this year. He cares. He knows. We call that omniscience. He's an all-knowing God. He's ever-present. He's not just here at Austin Chinese Church, but he is down the road at the Vietnamese Alliance Church. He's down the road at High Point Baptist Church. He's all the way in California where my friend worships at Home of Christ 5. You know, he's on the East Coast, Rutgers Chinese Church. He is all over at once, ever present. Now that God loves you. And he initiated it. It wasn't like along the way, it's like, whoa, this person, they did really good work this week. They gave a lot to the poor. You know, they were obedient to their parents, or they honored their parents. They really worked hard at work. You know what? This week, I think I'm going to love this guy. I'm going to love this girl because they really stood out. No, God loves us from before we were born. He initiated it. Again, Scripture says, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. And then verse 19, we love because he first loved us. We did not earn his love. Because the backside of that question is, how much do you and I have to do to earn God's love? I just tried to quickly describe him. Like, what do you have to do? How much on the love meter do you have to love in order to be able to earn his love? And God said, hey, don't even try. You can't earn my love. And the other side of this is we actually don't deserve his love. I know that's hard to take, hard to think about. Because we like to think of ourselves as lovable. You know, I mean, I'm not perfect, but, you know, I'd like to think that it's not super hard work for Tina to love me. You know, maybe a little painful once in a while, but hopefully it's not. There's a little bit of lovability, right? We don't deserve God's love. This is not the way that we normally love. Normally, let's be honest, okay? Often we love somebody because of the lovability factor that they have. Okay, like babies, they're really cute. They've done nothing for us. All they do is cry and use the bathroom, and then they cry, and then they eat. But we love them because they're really cute, usually, right? And so there's that lovability factor. Or else we might say, this person's very talented. I love to listen to their music. I love to see their artwork. I love their creativity. I love what they bring and what they can put on our team that does these slides. It's like, wow, so talented. Oh, I just love what they do. I love this person. We throw it around very flippantly, but it's usually because we enjoy something that they have done. It brings something into our life, and so we love them. They've blessed us somehow. Maybe they've come to serve us. Maybe they've given us a meal, and they just did it out of their heart. They just randomly came by and said, hey, we just cooked for you. We want to bring this to you, and it wasn't anything we deserved. It wasn't anything we earned. They just loved us and gave something to us, and so we were blessed by them, and therefore we love them. To be honest, God loves us, and he initiated that love in spite of who we are. And you might say, Pastor, I'm one of those words of affirmation people. You know, I that's how I feel loved, and right now I'm not feeling words of affirmation. Well, first of all, I'm one of those guys too, so it's hard. But we are sinners who have sinned against this Almighty God. And the only thing we really deserve is punishment and death because of our sin. That is what we deserve. Nowhere when we look on the list of what do we deserve as humans, nowhere in there should there be the word love. That doesn't compute. It doesn't logically make sense. If we analyze the way we live and we analyze who he is and we analyze what the scriptures say, nowhere does it say, oh yeah, of course God would love them. That's not logical. If you're one of those scientific logical people, you would say, yeah, there's a gap in this logic here. Now, what I really appreciated a few weeks ago when Minister Dominic was preaching about how we may struggle with having peace, but a lot of times we struggle because of our shame. And he talked about shame and he talked about guilt. And the bottom line is Jesus, when he died on the cross, he died for our sins. He died for our guilt. He died for our shame. He took it all. He doesn't expect us to keep going around with shame and guilt and to have the punishment of sin still hanging over us, because he said, I died for that. And he offers us his peace. You see, it is a wonder that he initiated it. In Romans, it says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still his enemies, Christ died for us. It doesn't make any sense. And that is part of the wonder of this season, is that God loves us. He loves us because he chooses to love us. He loves us because he chooses to love us. And by that action, he has declared that he chooses to declare us worthy of his love. Not our own worthiness, it is because he has declared us worthy. Some of you have heard this illustration before that I've given, a little bit different context, but at the risk of embarrassing my daughter a little bit. When she was really young, I think she was around two or so, for a Christmas gift, Tina was shopping, and they were in Target, and there was this rack of tennis balls that were on sale. I don't know if they were or not, but, you know, so Karis could talk a little bit, and Tina's talking to her about, hey, what do you want to get for Daddy? And she happened to see it. She must have figured out it was a good price, so she said, green balls. Okay, so the tennis balls, pack of three. So That's what I opened up. And I was smart enough at the time to say, oh, Karis, this is the greatest, even though I knew mommy had paid for it, right? But, like, we were there and we celebrated that. And along the way, we would play with those tennis balls. Not often, you know, I'm not great at tennis. But we would have them and, you know, you play in the house. But subconsciously, I always kept track of those three tennis balls. Like, if someone watched me, I'd like, periodically, because we had other tennis balls eventually, you know, and so I always find those three and put it back in the pack. And finally, I realized I'm going to lose track of these. I still have those tennis balls. They're on my desk at home among all my clutter, but it is one of the prized possessions I have because I have placed worth on it. God looks at us, and we might say, oh, we're just old tennis balls. You know, tennis balls, after a while, they don't bounce. You know, they're barely good enough to throw. And yet I keep those tennis balls because of this young lady. God looks down and he loves us and he has placed worth in our lives. So those of you who are trying to be worthy and trying to build up worth, why are you doing that? I mean, you're mildly offending God. He's like, why are you? I've already declared you worthy, and I love you. He initiated this. And if I stop right now, for some of you, this is the point of the message that you need to hear. You're believing lies all the time, that you're not worthy, that you are unlovable. And then you got some of you who are extreme, that you pretend that you're more than you are, and you prop yourself up, and you do, and you're looking around to see if anybody's noticing. Because you're trying to be loved. I submit to you, my friend, God, in his wisdom and in his love, loves you. And he initiated it, not because you and I are worthy. So that's one reason we wonder at his love. Because he initiated this love. The God of the universe loves each and every one of you, no matter what your age, your background, your culture, your sins. God loves you. And he initiated that. The second thing that came to mind as I looked at this passage, as far as why do we, what is the great wonder, the wonders of his love, is looking a little bit more at why he loved us. In the scriptures, there's two things that are brought here, at least from this passage. It says that God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. And I won't take a lot of time, I've sort of laid the foundation for this already, but he loved us so that we can have life. He loved us so we can have life. In other words, we were dead. From day one, every little baby that comes into the world is starting to die. I know that sounds terrible. But we are humans that as soon as we have life, there's a clock that starts. Someday we're going to die. And then spiritually, we're all dead. Spiritually, we don't come in, I don't believe scripture teaches that as soon as you come into this world that, wow, you know, you are a Christian. I think there's a point. Okay, let me take a pause. I do believe that little ones who are not able to make decisions like babies, I think God has his mercy, all right? But as soon as people can understand, people have a choice, we are accountable for what we know, all right? He came that he loves us so that we can have life. We cannot become alive on our own. We cannot become alive on our own. And then in the ESV, he used this big word, propitiation. I mean, anything more than a couple syllables and I get, you know, rash. But propitiation, it says, and this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. If you look this word up in the dictionary, you might get the wrong idea of its meaning. Because the dictionary tells us to propitiate means to appease someone who is angry. So therefore, we think of God as this angry being up there. You know, some of us already think of him. He's up there with a baseball bat ready to catch us, and he'll whack us every time we sin, like a whack-a-mole kind of thing, right? That's God up there. And if you look at this word propitiation, and if you use this definition to appease someone who's angry, then I think we will have a skewed view. Is God angry at sin? Absolutely he is. Okay, there is that side of him. But if you get the idea that propitiation is really God loving the world and making a path available so that sins can be forgiven. You see, if Jesus had not died, there was no way for us to have a fixed relationship with him. There was a great relationship with Adam and Eve. They sinned, and it was a broken relationship, which has been broken ever since. But Jesus came, born as a baby. He lived 33-some years, and then he died to provide, to be the propitiation for our sins, to provide the path. Because of his love, he provides the path so that every woman, every man, every boy and girl can have the opportunity to trust in him. That's what propitiation, that's why he loves us. He loved us so that we can live. He loves us and to provide this propitiation for us. We should remember that propitiation does not mean that men and women must do something to appease God or placate his anger. Propitiation is something that God does to make it possible for us to be forgiven. Okay? If you really can't remember the word propitiation, think of this. There's the word do, which is what men and women, boys and girls try all the time. I got to do in order to get God's approval. Salvation, or the gospel, says done. God has done it all. He loved us enough, and he's done it all. And he's just saying, do you believe me, or do you believe you? That's the choices. That's the wonder of love. As we analyze why he loved us that we might have life, and he loved us that he might deal with our sin. And this third point, I'm going to spend a little bit more time. It's my last point. And I'm going to read it first because it's not going to make sense, okay? PG, you always do that. But this time I'm really highlighting. It is a wonder because God's love is a wonder because it causes him to command us to love him. I'll read it again. This is not going to be anything worthy of a book, but it is a wonder. God's love is a wonder because it causes him to command us to love him. Let me read Matthew 22 for you. Matthew 22, and I'll start with verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. Now, here we are at a paradox. It seems very, very strange to say that God's love for us is unconditional, and then to say, and we have scripture, where he commands us to love him. Okay, do you see the paradox? He loves us. He initiated love. He gives us life for those who trust in him. He takes care of the sins of those who trust in him. Unconditional, agape love. And yet he says, and I'm commanding you to love me. How does this make sense? How does this make sense? If you or I said this, yeah, I love you with agape love, Tina. Now, I'm commanding you to love me. Okay, first of all, that's just wrong, right? It would be crazy, arrogant, and stupid for a human being to say that. Have you ever told someone that you love deeply to do something that was hard for them to do? Have you ever told someone that you love deeply to do something that was hard for them to do? Those of you who are parents, telling a child that maybe they can't play, whatever it might be, whatever age-appropriate game we're talking about, telling a child that they cannot play because they need to study, telling a child they cannot play because they have a responsibility to do, they need to wash the dishes or whatever. Okay, you love them, but at that moment they don't feel love because you're telling them to do something that's hard. Advising a loved one that as far as you know and as you're talking to the doctors that it might be better to be having to get that surgery in order to have a chance to get better. That's a hard conversation. You're talking to someone you love and you're telling them to be knocked out and possibly not wake up again. As the doctors work, and most surgeries, I mean, you might say, oh, it's a simple surgery. Any surgery is invading the body, right? There's cutting involved. There's a chance that's being taken. So you're telling a loved one, you know what, I do think this is a good idea. I think this would be better for you. I can't make you do it, but I'm advising you to do this. You're telling someone that you love to go through that kind of pain. What kind of person are you? No, you understand what I mean. To say to someone that I can't loan you money. I can't loan you money because you have a track record. You don't understand that this money is God's, so you just spend it extravagantly. You spend it on you. I cannot participate in that. I love you, and therefore I'm telling you no. Now we come to God. I love you unconditionally, and I am telling you the greatest command is that you love me. Why? Because the God of this universe knows that that's how he made you and wired you. Your most successful, fulfilling life is when you have a love relationship with God that is real, not talking about it only, not Sunday for 1 hour kind of thing, where you love him. And just to help us, he's commanded us. So the God of this universe who says, I initiate and I unconditionally love you, does not say it is without responsibility. He says, my greatest command, the first and greatest command, is that you love the Lord your God with all your soul, your mind, and your strength. Because he knows that's what's best. This is the wonder of his love. I've been going through a book called Experiencing God with a young man here, we're doing discipleship, and this was just profound to me. And this has just been on my mind a lot. So just some quotes. God created you, you and me, for intimate fellowship with him. A life spent walking closely with the Lord is both exciting and rewarding. God does not want you to miss out on what he has intended for you from eternity. From eternity, he planned out your life. He knew what school you would go to. He knew you would marry. He knew who you would not marry. He knew where you would work. He knew what your tough times would be. He knew what you would need. From the beginning of time, he doesn't want you to miss out on anything he's intended for you from eternity. Sin causes us to follow our own selfish desires, but in doing so, we reject God's best for our lives. So God takes the initiative to draw us closer to himself. This love relationship, however, is not one-sided. As you accept his love and forgiveness, he wants you to know and worship him. Most of all, he wants you to love him. Jesus said in John 14:21, the one who has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And friends, if you say, well, I love Jesus, and you're not listening to him, you're lying. Okay? I didn't say that. The scriptures are saying that. If we say we love Jesus, but we don't follow his commands, he himself said, the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. I will also love him and will reveal myself to him. John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Starting with the first one. The first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God. And again, I'm talking about the wonder of his love is that he commands us to love him. It doesn't make sense. I'm not only filled with wonder, but also confusion. Until I experience it. Henry Blackaby, who wrote this book, I'm going to borrow from his illustration because it's very powerful. Blackaby says one of his church members was suffering chronic difficulties in his personal life, in his family, at work, and in the church. So one evening during a church business meeting, he grew so furious at the decisions being made that he angrily declared that he was resigning from all of his offices in the church, and he stormed out of the building in the middle of the meeting. Later that week, Pastor Henry went to see him and asked this one question. Can you describe your relationship with God by sincerely saying, I love you with all of my heart? The strangest look came across this man's face, and he said, nobody has ever asked that. No, I could not describe my relationship with God that way. I could say I obey him, I serve him, I worship him, I fear him, but I cannot say, honestly, that I love him. As Pastor Henry and him talked, he learned that that man had never felt that his own father had loved him. His dad had constantly criticized him. Nothing he did ever measured up to his father's impossibly high standards. And as often happens, he had grown up to view God just like his earthly father. Even as the man continued to be angry and hurt at the rejection of his earthly father, he also had anger and confusion in his life because of his estrangement from God. Everything in his life was out of order because God's basic purpose for his life was missing. Sadly, this man is like many people who have regularly attended church all their lives. They are respected members of their congregation. They serve in leadership positions, but when pressed, they would honestly admit that they do not love God. They serve him, worship him, believe in him, fear him, but their relationship with God is not characterized by genuine, heartfelt love. God created us for a love relationship with him. When you're not living your life in the overflow of God's love for you and your love for him, then you cannot live the Christian life as he intended. The wonder of his love, the amazing magnitude and grandeur of his love, is that he has commanded us, or let me use another word, he's invited us and commanded us to love him. Because that is when you experience God. This past month in our family, we have noticed an alarming thing with our water bill. During the summer, it was a little hard to tell because we have a sprinkler system. So I was like, oh, it looks like it's going a little high. Last month, it was more than triple. So I'm not a rocket scientist, but I figured out we have a leak. So called City of Austin, and basically it's the homeowner's responsibility. So I said, okay, maybe it's a sprinkler system or something. I was hoping it wasn't something else. So we went through different things, and we looked at the water meter. And the water meter, many of you maybe don't know this, or maybe you do, I didn't. There's a little indicator on there. It's supposed to be still. It's not supposed to be moving. Mine was spinning. It could have been a fan for the summertime, right? It was spinning because there's water just leaking somewhere. So we had some guys come, and they dug, and they checked the irrigation system. It wasn't that. We figured out it wasn't above the ground in the house. And so now I'm starting to worry that it's under the foundation. But this gentleman and his son were dug in his head. He was so excited. He came running in to tell me, hey, I got it, you know. And he found it, and there was this crack from the main, from the street coming past the water meter, of course, and just leaking. And it was under the sidewalk. That's why it didn't show up. And I'm thinking, like, all this leak in my house, I mean, I could still function sort of, but it was at a great cost. It was a leak. I could function, but it was at a great cost. Maybe some of you in here are not believers yet, and what I mean is you haven't made that decision to put your trust in Jesus Christ, the God-man who came and died for you and took your sins, the punishment for your sins. He did that propitiation thing. He made it possible. And God's saying, you know what, you might think your life is okay, you have good health, you have a job and all that stuff, but you're actually not experiencing what I want you to experience. I created you to have a love relationship with me. And my friends, you might be functioning well, but your leak, your lack, if you will, is at a great cost. God has done everything he can. But if we don't trust in him, he cannot forgive our sins. He cannot give you eternal life. I'm not threatening you. I'm giving you the good news that there's a way to stop that. You can put your trust in him today, right now where you're sitting. What better day than the Sunday before Christmas? I invite you to do that. If you are a Christian, do you love Jesus? You're serving. You're faithful. You may even have devotions once in a while. But do you love him? Because the wonder of his love is that he initiated it. The wonder of his love is that he's given us life and taken care of our sin. And the wonder of his love is that he commands us to love him. So believers, maybe today is a day to say, God, I want to love you, but I need your help. Because I don't want to be a Pharisee. I don't want to just go through the motions. If someone asked me, how is your walk with God? How is it being a Christian? I would say it stinks. Is it so stressful? There's no joy and peace that I keep hearing about. And by the way, it's not because it's not there. It's because we're not in a love relationship that's growing. Okay? So I want to be clear. You can't lose your salvation once you're a Christian. But you sure can be disobedient. And that's when everything doesn't go well. As far as knowing you're loved. So music team, we're not going to have time for singing today, but I'd like us to just pause and bow our heads as we ponder the Wonder series. Let me just read the verse that we would have sung just now. You came down from heaven's throne. This earth you formed was not your home. A love like this, the world had never known, a crown of thorns to mock your name. Forgiveness fell upon your face. A love like this, the world had never known. Friends, if you are saying, Pastor, I'm not a believer, but today I would like to be a believer, just tell God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve punishment, but God, I am asking you to forgive me and to give me that life that you promised. I'm not going to do it on my own. You can pray that where you are. If you are a believer, I invite you right now to pray, God, forgive me for not loving you. But God, by your grace, with your Holy Spirit's power, it's in my life. I choose to let go. I choose to learn again how to love you. I'm going to spend time with you. I'm going to make you a priority. I'm not going to doubt you. I want you to be truly Lord of my life. Help me to love you. Dear God, I thank you for this opportunity as we have pondered on the hope of this season, as we have pondered the peace that passes understanding, as we have discussed the joy unspeakable and full of glory, and as we talk about the agape unconditional love, we are filled with wonder. And so I ask, Jesus, that you would continue your work in us and that these next couple days leading up to Christmas will be fun. It'll be times where we can have laughter, where we can invest in each other, where we can show love. But God, may we at the end of the day especially realize that you loved us so much and you stand there patiently, not helplessly, but patiently, saying, will you love me as I have loved you? God, transform us. Help us to be great lovers with you and to experience everything you intended us to experience. We thank you. We pray your blessings during this Christmas time. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning again, and welcome to Austin Chinese Church. We are glad.